This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On Air.
It's time for Round the Boards, updates from Dunedin City Community Boards on ORFM Dunedin's awesome morning show.
And joining me today for today's edition of Round the Boards, Rebecca Shepherd, Mosgiel Tauri Community Board Chair. Morena, and lovely to have you with us, Rebecca. Thanks for coming all the way across the hill.
Good morning.
Let's tuck into all the issues of the day, and of course, no surprise that Mosgiel's heavy traffic situation is still under consideration, and no doubt a bit of advocacy as well.
Yes, a lot of advocacy. We're sort of working our way through what's involved with getting some solutions onto the long-term plan for the DCC, and also sort of in communication with NZTA. Not that the community board can do anything, but we can advocate for the community, and certainly safety out on the Tauri, not just Gordon Road, not just the highway, but the rest of the roads that are being used by the trucks are becoming quite hazardous. And we need the trucks to be transporting all the goods, and certainly when we get the inland port in Dukes Road, we're going to need to accommodate those trucks, but we just need to make sure that it's safe as well. So there's a few little changes I think can be made, and then still have the long-term goal of some sort of a bypass operation.
And you've recently convened a workshop with interested parties about that.
We did. It seems like I might have stepped outside of what the norm is for a community board to organise such a large-scale workshop, but it was really neat because the council let us hold it in the council buildings, and we invited along all the interested parties, all the people that can actually make things happen, and just ask them the questions. What do we do to get these onto your long-term planning cycle? Because if things aren't on the long-term plan for local and central government, then it actually doesn't happen, no matter how many petitions you put to them, no matter how many sort of safety studies you can do. If it's not on the long-term plan and you don't have the right boxes ticked, then it just won't happen. So we've made a real effort to sort of educate ourselves as a community board and what we can do to make, to sort of spur that along. And it was really good to have all those people in the room. We did exclude the media, which was a wee bit of a decision that we made, that it meant that people could talk a bit more openly and not sort of be bound, because we had MPs there as well. And it can all become a bit of a circus if you're not careful. And it was actually a really constructive group get together, and we talked about lots of options for what we can do, and we, as a community board, we got to the bottom of what we need to do to actually spur things along.
So what comes out of that workshop? What are the action points?
So the action points for us were that that we need to make sure that everybody is aligned in the way they speak about it and what we're aiming for. So instead of pushing for a bypass all the time, I think we've all agreed that maybe we talk about safety improvements for the Tauri, and that encompasses all of the changes. So it's not just an inland port that's going in. There's a lot of housing development going in, and potentially we've got 650 houses going in to one of the subdivisions there. So we need to make sure that the roads are going to accommodate those commuters as well as the trucks. It's not just the heavy vehicles. It's actually the increased transport that's happening on the roads, really only built for a small town, and now we're becoming quite a big area. Yeah, highly populated area.
Indeed.
Yeah.
Let's move to the inland port. You mentioned that there's the fast track consent process around that. Perhaps you could remind us of what's happening there.
So the fast track consent process is something that was put in by this government to just spur along anything that's going to sort of get the economy working, and projects like the inland port are something that has been identified as something that could really get the economy for Otago going, and even the whole South Island. So we've got to look at the positives of what that can do for our community, and it might mean more jobs, it might mean more industry can go into that Mosgiel area, that commercial area in Mosgiel. But we just need to make sure as a community that it does fit with what we've got, the infrastructure that we've got there, roading. Also, there's some flood protection issues that we need to make sure are considered. And the people that are responsible for all those things do that, but we've worked really hard to make sure that the community's heard around the transport. So where the trucks are going to go, we've got to embrace things that are going to promote the economy, but we've also got to make sure that it's going to be still nice to live on the Tauri, and it's not going to just be living on a main highway that's dangerous and noisy and uncomfortable to sit next to when you're sitting in a cafe.
So what's your channel for being heard about those things?
So we've been really fortunate. We actually just only a week ago were offered a there's a formal process to how the the fast track consent goes, and there's only a certain number of people that can actually have an input in the consultation process. And we initially didn't have, the community board didn't have a place to speak, but we just out of the blue got an invitation. It was about 10 days ago, so we're very rapidly putting together. Well, it's not too much work because we've got all of that information at our fingertips anyway. We've been doing lots of communication with all the different departments anyway, so we can put it all into a document and make sure that the concerns for the community are being heard and that they get addressed by that panel. So there's a panel, there's an expert panel that convenes and makes decisions on the consent process for that fast track.
Well, good to know that even in a fast track process, there is an opportunity.
Well, it is good because I'm quite new to all of this, and it did seem like it was just something that went through and, you know, just like a train just goes through without anything being consulted on. But actually, it's a lot more robust than I initially thought. So I think the community can feel comfortable that there is a robust process.
Yeah. Rebecca, we're a little way on now from the significant rain events of earlier in the month. Time for a bit of reflection on all of that and the community board's role.
Yeah, it's interesting. You think that on the night it was very busy for everybody concerned, certainly the people who were watching the water getting closer and closer to their houses and concerned about the river levels. But it's amazing the amount of work that the follow-up is going on. And even for the community board, we're getting a lot of communication from residents asking for help with, you know, their frustrations that the council's ORC and DCC aren't operating as fast as they would like. And it is frustrating, and certainly there's been a lot of stress. There's people that are stressed about when the next event comes, is it going to be worse and that sort of thing. So allaying concerns and making sure that those people are heard by the right people. So the community board doesn't have any operational, we don't have any ability to do anything physically, but we do have a few channels into the council, and I think that's where it comes into its own. We had, we've got a number of them. We've created a sort of an operational list that we can work through and make sure they're being followed up, and we can sort of use that information, go to the council, and we've got a few contacts there that can direct us to the right people that are actually dealing with those situations and get a status report really for our residents. And I think that's sort of nice for them. You know, they can vent their frustrations to us if they want, but what we can do is offer them advocacy, I guess.
Mm. Mm. Following an event like that, I suppose part of the challenge is actually getting a kind of a full picture of who has been impacted, because not everybody would say so.
No, and not everybody knows to say to the right people. So there's a council process that it's sort of like the consenting process and things. If you don't have the right forms filled out and the right person that knows, then it doesn't enter into any sort of work program. So for some of these people, they may have seen someone on the night, or they might have talked to a contractor that was standing at their road while it was flooding on the night, and they think that they've told the council about it, but it hasn't gone into the official process. So the process is that you ring the council or you fill out one of their fix-it forms, and that starts off a chain of events. And I'm just making sure that as a community board, when people ring us, we can channel them to those correct things and help them if they need help with what forms. There's some people that aren't, you know, they're not that computer savvy, and it's important that they do it, because sometimes it's one person's noisy, but actually there's 8 or 10 people in that neighbourhood that are affected, and they're just kind of getting on with it and not saying anything, and it's actually a really big problem.
Mm. Mm. So shoulder tapping a community board member, it's probably not part of the official process, but it's another way, isn't it?
Well, I think copying us in is really important, because then we know. Because if we don't know, because there was one yesterday where, just one phone call to the council and I could find out for the people who they needed to go to. And, I mean, it turned out the processes were happening and it was all going on as it should, but they didn't know that. Mm. And so they get frustrated and upset thinking nothing's happening. But you know, we've got it on our tracker, so we're going to make sure that we can follow it up and just sort of help them along if they need it. Yeah.
Just finally, Rebecca, sort of related to all of this stuff, the Otago Regional Council is going to next week consider whether to consult on proposed changes to how the costs of the Lower Tyre and Lower Clutha flood protection or drainage schemes are shared. What do we know about that?
Well, we had a visit from the ORC to our workshop. It was about a month ago, just to tell us what they thought they were going to be looking at, the different options. They've got a process that they've gone through to find out some options that might make it a little fairer to spread the cost of flood protection and drainage across the Tyree. At the moment, there's some pockets that, due to population differences, due to risk, proximity to the flooding zones, it has been a little unfair, and I think some of the options that they showed us probably are a little more fair and spread the cost across a higher population, so there's less of a cost for more people rather than a bigger cost for a smaller population. So, I mean, it's not our place to spread any of that. I think the council, the ORC, are working their way through finalising on which one they're going to take to a consultation process, and we're actually, they're going to come and talk to us ahead of that at our next board meeting. So that'll be interesting, and then we can help in any way we can to spread that message and make sure that the consultation's really robust.
And if the council agrees to proceed, public consultation will open on the 10th of August and run through until the 11th of September. We'll keep you up to date on that.
Yeah.
Good stuff. Great to catch up with you, Rebecca, on issues on the Tyree, with the Mosgiel Tyree Community Board. Any meetings coming up? Where are you at with the meeting cycle at the moment?
We've got our next public meeting is on the 12th of August. We're holding that in Mosgiel again at the Downs Room. So anybody's welcome, obviously, to come along to that. And if you wanted to speak in the public forum, you can phone the council and set that up through the Governance Support Office. Or you can ring the community board and we can channel you through to who you need to go to. But yes, it's going to be a fairly big meeting, actually. We've got a lot on the agenda. It's a busy time of the year.
Indeed. Mm. All right. Well, here's how you get in touch. Thanks, Rebecca.
Yep. Thank you.
That was Round the Boards. Updates from Dunedin City Community Boards on ORFM, Dunedin's awesome morning show. For more information about Dunedin's 6 community boards and contact details, visit the Dunedin City Council website, dunedin.govt.nz, or phone 477 4000.
This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On Air.